Welcome back, everyone, to this 42nd episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I have some blackmail material now.
No. I have more.
Oh, that's right.
We traded blackmail material, so you need to...
We've seen each other's senior pictures and prom pictures.
We've been exchanging high school photos this morning.
And laughing.
I don't know. With my big hair, you may have better blackmail material. That was some serious big hair.
So with a donation of $100 to Guildcast, you will get a picture
of Sean. Oh, no. Because that senior picture is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I had some pretty awesome long hair.
You really did.
Anyway.
So with a donation of $100 to me, screw Guildcast. So Guild Wars.
Is that what we're doing? Oh, yeah. Guild Wars, yes. Welcome to Guildcast.
Hi.
How are you doing? So in this episode, we're going to talk about the Skrit. The sneaky, sneaky Skrit. That's pretty much the news this week. There were a few little things here and there we're going to talk about also. But the main part of this show will be email. We have a lot of email, a lot of responses, to Yo from last week.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, mostly in the comments. I mean, there are a lot in the comments, a couple emails. But a lot of people, I mean, it's funny, it was very polarized. You know, there were some that were like, you know, what is he talking about? And then there were like, he is the greatest thing ever to happen to Guildcast, you know, kind of back and forth. So,
well, that's good stuff, though. If we're all just sitting here going, I think so, too, it's going to be really boring.
Yeah. So... Let's start out with some of the news here, some of the Skrit news. Now,
can we call it Skrit news every week?
Yeah,
because that's kind of fun.
The Skrit are essentially they're an NPC race, and they are enemies of the Asura. I think that's probably the best way to say it. They're like kind of rat-like. They describe them as humanoid, but they're mixed between a rat and a bat, actually. So they're like these little, you know, kind of annoying little rodents that run around, and the Asura hate them because I think they're the only ones that are the same size. So they're, you know, they're kind of challenged that way. And this blog entry, the official Renanet blog entry by Reece Osby, explains exactly what they are. I mean, it goes down the line all the way from their history to their society, their religion, even their ecology, and it just explains. There's even a little part there that explains exactly what they had in mind when they made this race. Mm-hmm. And I find that stuff interesting. She even leaves a little blurb there about a quest line that was going to involve the Skrit that they actually took out of the game, but she hopes to, you know, add on eventually at some point.
Yeah, I'd love to see that return later. It looked cool.
So you want to explain a little bit about what the Skrit is all about?
Well, they are... Well, you kind of covered the basics about what they are. They are... The coolest thing to me is this hive mind, this hive mind concept, in that one by one, they're not very strong, they're not very smart. They are, I think, I'm like looking for it now, but I think it said they're barely capable of rational speech.
Yeah.
But what's funny is that they've got... The other aspects, like weapons and armor, are much more advanced.
Yeah. Well, it does say that they're kind of cunning. Like, one of the examples says that they won't steal your sword from you, but they'll kind of tell you, they'll convince you that you don't need your extra sword, and they'll carry it for you, and then they'll run away with it.
They're sneaky.
Yeah, they're sneaky. They're not into big flashy jewelry and stuff like that, because they're all about stealth and kind of sneaking around. Mm-hmm. But it does say that they're not... really scavengers, you know, they're not like what you would think of a rat going through, you know, trash piles and stuff like that. But like I said, they'll convince you that you don't need your sword anymore. They'll mooch off of you, you know, they kind of do things like that.
Yeah, it's not, well, that's like you said, it's not so much scavengers, but they take advantage wherever they can. But the intelligence thing is the coolest to me. As they get together, the more of them congregate, the more intelligent they are.
They share a brain?
Sort of. It makes me think a little bit of the Silvari and the way they learn and grow and think. They share information. Let's see. Here it is. Speaking in chirps and squeaks so fast it sounds like buzzing to human ears, they share information, parse knowledge, and determine action between themselves. So the more there are, the more rational and intelligent and cunning their activities become. That's pretty cool, and I like that it reflects the physical aspect of the Skrit. One of them, I mean, you know, if one Skrit comes up at you, you're going to kick it in the face and move on with your life.
You're going to punt it.
No, seriously. Well, yeah, it's not that big. But then try getting swarmed by 50 of the things.
Yeah.
They're much, much more formidable, both in intelligence and strength, the more of them get together.
The strength in numbers.
I like that there's this strength in numbers reflection on both sides of that. I got quite a kick out of that.
I think it's cool, too, that they go down the line here and they talk about exactly how the other races see the Skrit. You know, like Char, of course, see them as pests, pretty much. And they'll help the Asura. Now, the Asura are the ones that are, like, at war with the Skrit.
The Asura have some serious Skrit hate going on.
Yeah, and that actually goes back through history, back from the time when the Asura and the Skrit both lived underground. And then, of course, the dragons kind of changed all that, and they had to... both of them had to come above ground. But what happened was the Skrit, they're not as strong as the Asura, and they're not as smart, so they fell for a lot of, you know, tricks, they made a lot of stupid mistakes, and they were pretty much almost wiped out. So the Asura thought they were gone. You know, they thought, hey, you know, the bright side of these dragons driving us up, you know, above ground is that they got rid of those Skrit that we've been fighting with forever. So they were kind of happy about that, but then they found out because of the what would you call that? The procreation rate? Is that a nice way of saying it?
They breed like crazy.
Yeah. The breed rate of the Skrit is much, much higher than the Asura and most other creatures. So they're actually able to, multiply a lot faster and kind of get their numbers back. And that's one of those things that the Asura are always battling with, trying to knock out their numbers, but they keep reproducing faster than they can kill them.
Well, the Skrit females actually give birth to litters. It's not a single, like single or twins, and they can give birth to multiple litters in a lifetime. So,
yeah. So, this on top of the fact that they've pretty much grown in number, and they've also grown in strength. And then, you know, like you said, the strength comes from their numbers in the first place. So. They're coming back. Like they were almost an endangered species for a while there, but they started coming back, and the Asura are like, oh, great. We thought we got rid of these guys. So they've actually been kind of hiring other races like the Char to get rid of them, which the Char are happy to do. But then it mentions in here that the Silvari and the humans are a little bit more tolerant of the Skrit. They'll actually, communicate with them, and they'll, trade with them or whatever. That makes me think that in the game itself, it's not going to be set up to where we're all going to be fighting a Skrit. You know, there might actually be times where, depending on your race, you might have to, there might be like a faction, like a Skrit faction. I'm totally making this stuff up.
But fun to speculate,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I like about this? It means to me, this is the first thing I picked out of this, it means to me that humans aren't blubbering idiots in this game, which I am so happy about. Like, there are so many games where they make humans either bland, vanilla, they have a little bit of everything, but they don't specialize in anything.
Yeah, they're good across the board.
Yeah, or they're just complete idiots. And in most games, it's because it's like, well, we're human, so we can overlook that. Because we look at, Silvari as being so much more mystical, so we're going to make them the better ones. Which, I'm just glad that it seems like it's not about everybody else except the humans. People want to play humans, too.
Well, yeah, and that's probably, I'm going to roll one of those, and you know what this makes me think of is what I disliked about Ghosts of Ascalon, and I loved Ghosts of Ascalon. Don't get me wrong.
Ghosts of Ascalon.
Yes, that's the next. That's the third one. It's about the Gaki in Guild Wars 1. No, Ghosts of Ascalon. There's too many S's there. But in the first part of the heck, in most of the book, the other members of the group looked at Dougal the human, and just thought he was an idiot. I mean. They picked on him, and they were awful to him at every opportunity, and I felt so bad for him that I didn't like that aspect of the book. And that's, that's something that I was really hoping not to see in Guild Wars 2. I understand that the humans are an embattled race, and I understand that they're down but not out, but it doesn't mean they're, you know, stupid cavemen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm kind of glad to see that. And this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but when you mentioned that, I just really like that.
No, I agree. I think it's cool.
So the Skrid are also not drooling idiots. They appear to be at first glance. But this whole hive mind thing just is so cool to me. And something else that I liked is that Skrid, I mean, they're kind of the rodent, they've got that little rodent attitude that you would think of where they're really excitable and everything's really fast and na-na-na-na-na. And they'll get overexcited and start repeating themselves to make sure that the more slow-witted race that they're talking to can follow.
Oh, that's funny. That's
yeah,
hilarious.
That just cracks me up. Because they think, I like the concept that they look at the rest of us as a little inferior and a little more, maybe not as smart.
Hmm. Yeah, that's funny. I think, especially, I can't imagine with the Asura. I mean, can you think of the quest lines with the Asura telling us to get rid of Skrit or something like that? I mean, they're going to be like, oh, those Skrit, they're just so stupid, you know.
Kill 10 Skrit.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that'll probably be a thing. I don't know. I hope not. But
kill 10 rat bats. Now, yeah. I can see that, and that's a very good avenue for this whole thing in character creation about how you feel about a lesser race.
Oh, yeah.
I assume that these races we're seeing in the ArenaNet blog are the lesser races that we have to know how we feel about them.
Yeah, and this one would be for Asura.
Like I hope so.
Yeah, we're making an Asura character. Yeah, that would make sense.
I'm pretty sure that this is the first lesser race we've seen.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but it's nice to see something new.
Yeah. Well, cool. You want to get into our next topic here, which is the Gwen Toga Party?
Yeah, definitely. This is pretty cool. I don't know. Have you been to one of these before?
A toga party?
This kind of toga party. We went to a toga party at GDC.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, the Gods and Heroes one. No, I haven't.
Okay, well, this is the Gaming World Entertainment Network is the group that's putting this on. And every year they have a toga party to benefit the Multiple Sclerosis Society of Canada. And I actually wanted to talk about this today because this is just such a cool event. And everybody involved in, well, it's called GWEN. G-W-E-N is the Gaming World Entertainment Network. Everybody involved in GWEN worked so hard to pull this together. This is happening on April 16th, and it is, I'll put the links in the show notes, but this is a huge, huge event in which you can win prizes, you can win in-game prizes by just participating and just being there. They give them out on air on the radio station, and it's stuff like 10,000 alcohol points. I mean, there's a whole title that they'll just give you.
Huh.
An undedicated Livia Mini.
Oh, wow.
A Voltaic Spear. They have 6 Ion Wing Codes.
Cool.
Zyshen gold Zyshen Coins, Gold Zyshen Keys, weapons for your Hall of Monuments, 15 weapons for your Hall of Monuments, so you get everything right there in one stroke.
Cool.
And then they have this insanely huge list of prizes for those who donate to the Canadian Multiple Sclerosis Society. If you donate, your name goes in the hat for, let's see, I'm just like looking through, picking stuff out. They have 5 copies of Edge of Destiny. They have an 8-gigabyte iPod Nano.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, they have $100 notes, pictures, and signatures from the movie RoboCop. What else is cool?
Wait, how does that...
They just have all of this cool entertainment. They have an Evidence One marker from the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, okay. So it's like random stuff, too.
Yeah, it's all like entertainment and pop culture stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Signed picture from the movie Scarface.
Wow. Who's it signed by, is it?
It doesn't say. Oh, okay. Oh, wait, there's a picture. Hang on, let me see. I'll link a new tab. It looks like a circle and a few scribbles inside.
All right. I know that guy.
I can't tell.
He's a great actor.
I've never seen Scarface, so I don't really know who I'm looking at.
It might be Al Pacino. That would be awesome.
It might be. You know what? Here, why don't you Take a look.
It's not that
there
big
you go.
A deal. Sorry.
Now I want to know, though.
Oh. Yep, that's Al Pacino. Wow,
okay,
that's
there
cool.
You go. There are a bunch of Star Wars toys. There's just, they have so much cool pop culture stuff.
Wow.
So that is...
So they are not messing around.
They are not messing around. And every year, it's like the prizes get bigger every year. So this is on April 16th, and you can just come and hang out and try to win one of the in-game prizes. Mm-hmm. And you can donate. It's a good cause. It's a huge party. There's no bad here. And you get to play Guild Wars.
That sounds like a good time. I mean, it's yeah. I want to win that autograph. That's pretty cool.
I thought you'd like that. But this is one of the biggest community events every year. They've been doing this for quite a while, so...
Cool.
I was kind of happy for the opportunity to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That sounds like
yeah.
fun.
Yep. So that was pretty much it. I think I've gone on and on about how cool I think this is.
Well, we'll put a link to that in the show notes, though.
Definitely.
Yeah, so that someone can get that, check that out.
Mm-hmm. So now we have email?
Yeah, I'm going through these. Which I should have done before, but you know how that works out. I'm looking to see which ones we could read. I'm going to go back to March. That wasn't that long ago. And I'm going to read, let's see. Again, like I said, you know, you have to have a catchy topic, a catchy subject line. And so many people put in here, like, Mesmer revealed, because they know that's going to work for me. But it's so funny that everybody did that, like...
So funny. You've stopped believing them. You're so jaded.
I know. Even when ArenaNet, I say win because I have faith. When ArenaNet's like, the next profession is the Mesmer, I'll be like, yeah, right. I'll be like, it's June 1st. June Fool's Day.
It's June Fool's Day. I want to invent that now just to mess with your head.
All right, so let's see. Let's go through these emails here, and I'm stalling while I talk. Oh, okay, this one, Mesmer nearly See. Confirmed. And this is actually a pretty good one, actually. This is from last week. It says, hey, Ruby and Sean, I'm not sure if you heard of this, but I thought I should let you know as soon as possible. This is from the German website buffed.de, which interviews Mr. Peters. And it's all in German, and then he translates it, and it says,
oh, good.
As we know, the Mesmer will be the next class to be revealed, which for sure you cannot talk about right now, but could you at least tell us what kind of armor type the other two classes will use? That was the question from Buffed right there. So Peters responds, and it says Peters laughing, says, we will not talk about the next class directly, but, well, there will be one light and one medium armor, so much to say. The people have high expectations, and we know that a lot of them enjoyed playing mind games and similar kinds of skills. We will not let them down. Sorry for this rough translation. It's 7 a.m. in the morning, and I really need to go to university. Hope this is news for you and Ruby. Love ya. Oh, love ya. Wow.
Love you, too.
Chris, a.k.a. Seether. Oh, I pronounced it wrong. He says, yeah, Sean, pronounced as set tour.
Ah.
He got you. Yeah. well, that's cool. I mean, I think it doesn't really confirm anything. Like, he says that the topic is... Mesmer nearly confirmed. But like he says, there's one light, one medium, and then people have high expectations. Let's see. A lot of them enjoyed playing mind games and similar kinds of skills. So what he's saying there is it's like I guess he's saying that the next class or one of the classes will have kind of a mind game thing about it.
Yeah, and they had said that a while back. Yeah. They said, you know, if you like those mind games and that sort of trickery thing, we have a class for you.
Well, are there any of them left that are supposed to be named the same as current ones?
I think one. I think we've got one, and then I'm pretty sure we have a brand new one. This is what I've been saying, is I think number 7 will be the brand new one that we don't know.
Yeah.
And then 8 will be our Mez.
Possibly.
So, no.
But I'm just wondering, see, I was trying to think if they would change it to, like, Illusionist or, you know, something like that. Like, not actually name it Mesmer. But, you know, and then it would kind of maybe introduce other parts from other classes that we were speculating before. I don't know. But I still, I mean, I'm almost 100% guaranteed. I've convinced myself that it is going to be a Mesmer type. You know what I mean? I mean, and they've even kind of said that too. So,
I really hope so, because you've said this before, and I really agree that the Mesmer is such a unique Guild Wars thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's because of stuff like fast casting too, which they don't have anymore. The buffing itself isn't really unique, but the fast casting was what was really a lot of fun. But they've already said that they're not going to have fast casting. Sucks.
Well, I don't know. Let's see what they replace it with.
Yeah. Okay, so this is funny, because the next one, the subject line, is it's official, no Mesmer.
Ah, they're playing with your head.
I know. It says, sorry, Sean, but it's true. When they released the Ranger, they said that there would be two classes that can use pets, and as they didn't mention that one of the commando mechanics, then we have to assume that there's no playable Mesmer class, unless you count a mesmerized slave as a pet. I think the commando class is a little OP. Wait a minute. I mean, they could stand at 50 yards and snipe down anything. It seems like they will present a lot of game balance issues, but we should have seen this coming. The Asurin Gullmancer in the first book, not the one that stole the artifact with Duncan, the other one, made something like a flashbang where light bursts from a container and blinded enemies. It seems like a little out of place from the bows, swords, and whatnot everyone else uses. Just my thoughts. Dark Soul. Dark Soul. I'm not sure if you realize this, but that was a joke. The commando thing?
I'm not sure a lot of people realize that. It's not that, you know, oh, Dark Soul, you're so dumb. It's that ArenaNet did this really well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... We actually had a few other emails on that. Yeah, the commando thing was totally a joke. I mean, a really well-done joke. Really, really well-done.
No kidding.
But it's totally a joke. So they're not going to have commandos in there. And because that would... Man, could you imagine the balance issues there?
Yeah. That would be... I would love it.
There would be 400,000 million commandos running around, and then you as an elementalist. That'd be it.
I'd probably roll a commando, too. But see, there wouldn't be a balance issue, because we would all be commandos.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. So, he's kind of basing the fact that there's not going to be a Mesmer off of the commando, which is not really
true.
Relevant. Yeah. So, sorry, Dark Soul.
It's cool to think about, though.
Yeah. Okay, and we have another one. Actually, I think this thing is very similar. It says, hello again, this is Equal Nagrum. Whatever happened to, like, John?
That sounds like something that's backwards. What does it say backwards?
Oh, Morgan Luke.
See?
Yeah, hey. That's cool. Anyway, hello again, this is Equal Nagrum. I'm just emailing to say the commando is beast beyond belief, and I don't want a Mesmer. I want my dervish back. But I want to hear it from you, Sean. The picture of the last profession looks like a big armored char, and we all know that a char would not belittle himself in becoming a Mesmer. Also, now, since the commando was made, so were some new guns. Why couldn't they add the scythe back? Since they revamped or nerfed the dervish, I think the last profession will have some aspect of the dervish, if not the dervish itself. I'm hoping the dervish is a little like Beetlejuice. If you say his name enough, he will appear.
Dervish, dervish, dervish!
Oh, that's there's a man happened. In a dress in my room. Oh, sorry.
He's always been there. That's your dressmaker's dummy for when you go out in the evenings.
Right. It says, well, here... That's my thoughts and dreams. Equal Nagrum from Afraid of the Dark. P.S. If I overlooked something, just completely ignore this message. P.S.S. This message will self-destruct.
I love that last one.
Yeah. Well, again, the commando isn't real, first. Second of all, that is a very good point about the big char in that picture. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, we have a warrior. Right, we have a guardian, which are both melee type, you know, heavy armor. So, what are they going to make that giant char?
I seriously cannot even begin to imagine what the next class is. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of like a straight gunner class, but yeah. No.
I think it will be some type of a gunner, maybe like a sharpshooter.
I have no idea.
We've speculated on like engineer. Which I think would be really cool. A lot like Warhammer's Engineer, where it actually uses... They build turrets and they use guns and stuff. I think that would be really cool. I don't know. We'll see. I'm kind of the
point
now...
I hope we'll see soon.
Yeah, I'm just kind of at the point now where I'm like... It'll be cool, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Definitely.
Okay, let's see. And then, oh, he writes back and he says, no, I still don't want a Mesmer, but I don't like the angle Arena that is taking with the Commando. I like the Commando, but I don't think it's for this game. Again, not real.
Not for this game. So yeah. You're all good.
Yep. Okay, next email. It says, Dear Fruit.
Oh, that was the one where it was P-H. Was
yeah,
that?
P-H-R-U-T-E. It says, that stands for freak and cute. Choose by popular vote who goes by which one. I don't know what your faces look like.
Okay, I want to vote.
Ruby's obviously the freak. So anyway,
I know, right?
Says, I
you're
believe,
the pretty one.
We'll put up our senior pictures and they can...
You know, I think I'll... can we put up my prom picture? Because then I'll totally win.
That's true. Okay, it says, I believe the thief will become a staple of farming. Why? Because of the steal ability. There's bound to be a few creatures that have a stealable skill that turn them into an effective farm. Where other classes have more controllable balance in PvE with weapons, the thief has different skills with virtually every NPC. I can't believe they foresee everything, and as such, a handful of overpowered skills, or rather a combo of good skills on one steel will slip through the mazes. It's the same as what happened with Invincimonks. It was just a lucky combination of skills, a quest reward, and mechanics, negative rune stacking, that allowed it to exist. In a game with a giant amount of skills like Guild Wars 1, this is possible. The Thief might allow this to happen too, as it has a far greater potential for skills, especially in PvE. For this reason, it's, in my honest opinion, most likely to become the dominant gold farming class, especially close after release. Your thoughts? Marnik? Oh boy. Ahui Tatsu.
Is this a backwards thing too?
I don't know. I think people just, like, face roll on the keyboard when they write their name. And they're like, let's see what Sean says about that one.
I don't know.
I mean, I think, though, I'm not sure if this will work because they've already said that there's not going to be farming in Guild Wars.
Yeah, Street. I don't think it's going to be farm-friendly at all.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, it's... Well, I mean, a big part of the farming ability in Guild Wars 1 was the instances. You know, you could go out there and kind of do your own thing.
Right.
I don't think it's... Well, I mean, I guess we'll be surprised. Hopefully we'll be surprised. But I don't think it's possible to completely make any MMO farm-proof. Because it always works out. I don't know how, but it always works out where somebody figures something out and then they start a gold-selling business around it. You know, it's crazy.
Except for the gold-selling part, that has always been something I loved about the MMO community. Well, the Guild Wars community, I guess. Man, they're smart. I mean, it doesn't take them any time. We're like Skrit. We've got this hive mind. But seriously, I have always been so impressed with how quickly the Guild Wars community adapts to balance and new builds and changes.
Yeah.
So, I don't like the gold selling part, though. That sucks. I don't like you guys.
I don't think we have gold sellers listening. I don't know. What do you think?
Seriously, doubt
maybe
it.
Maybe they listen while they're gold farming.
I hope not. Well, if they do, you guys suck.
Oh, boy. Okay. Next email. This is from Terrence. It says, Hello, Guildcasters. I just wanted to chime in about the April Fool's update and the Embark Beach update. One thing that wasn't mentioned in the last show was the release notes for the April Fool's update. ArenaNet had some fun with this, with those as well. I've listed some of my favorites. New Elementalist skill, Minecraft. For the next 4 to 15 seconds, your attacks deal earth damage, deals 40 plus 40 bonus damage, and knocks you down if you have a pickaxe equipped. That's funny.
I love it.
General changes. All mini-pets are required to have licenses and be kept on leashes when within outpost limits. Players will be fined 500 gold for every pet in violation of the leash laws. Licenses are available from the Guild Wars in-game store.
I love it, I love it, I love it.
Chat additions. /sell item price. It sends a message to all chat channels listing the item you're selling and your asking price. Message automatically repeats every 10 seconds until player types /sell cancel. Every fifth message is in all caps.
You know, they had several like that. There was one that did the same thing for a price check. And I can't. There was another one. I can't remember what it was. But you know what they should have added to that list is one for festivals that spams "What do for hat?" That one should have been available during festivals. In all caps, what do for hat?
Yeah. Okay, next one. Title Editions. Added the Patience title track. I like this one. A player's progress toward this title is based entirely on the length of time since the player last sought information about the Guild Wars 2 release date. Elapsed time can be checked by typing /GW2, which prints, "You have inquired about the release date X times and have lasted X minutes since your last inquiry."
I love it.
Does that work for email, too? And for like Q&A sessions? And
I think if ArenaNet could make it work for that, they would.
Yeah. For interviews.
It's, you know what though, I like these little, I like this ability to laugh at us, to laugh at themselves, to laugh at the players, and all of these little in-jokes that we've created over the years.
Yeah. Let's see, the last little part, he says, now on to Embark Beach. I'm not sure where I read it, possibly a comment on Massily, but someone suggested that the 7 hero parties in Embark Beach are possibly being put in place in preparation of the player base Exodus when Guild Wars 2 is released. It would make sense that a good percentage of players will be shifting their playing time to Guild Wars 2. When that happens, it will be harder to find a party. Filling your team with heroes fills that gap. And traveling from outpost to outpost to find a party, if difficult now, would be even more difficult with fewer players. Hence the need for a common meeting place. Now they just need to add a mechanic that repeats everything you type if you are only the only player in an outpost, simulating an echo effect. Ouch.
Nice.
Great show, Terrence. To address that, I think that it's almost like being balanced out, you know, there are more people than ever interested in Guild Wars because of Guild Wars 2. So, like, we have this giant influx of players coming in right now that are, you know, getting their Hall of Monuments ready, getting the lore kind of in their minds, you know, finding out about the lore so they can get ready for Guild Wars 2. It definitely there are going to be a lot of Guild Wars players jumping into Guild Wars 2, but there are also going to be some still playing Guild Wars 1, you know, because the Hall of Monuments is, you know, works retroactively. So anything you do now or, you know, even when Guild Wars 2 is out, it'll change your Hall of Monuments. So, I mean, I think they have a really good incentive to still play, but yes, definitely there. I would almost bet money on it that there's going to be a lot less Guild Wars 1 players. But do you think that that's why they're doing this this Embark Beach thing?
I think it's twofold. I think that may be a little bit of it. The majority of it, to me, looks to be part of an overall effort to make everybody to make it easier for people to get their Hall of Monument stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Embark Beach, I mean, a big part of your Hall of Monuments rewards can be obtained by finishing all the missions and all the campaigns, mission, bonus, masters, hard mode, all of that, and giving us a central location to make it easier to work with people on whatever you need, to me speaks mostly to an effort to help players with their Hall of Monuments. Because that's the majority, to me, this is why we've had such a big influx of players, is because this is the only jump you can get on Guild Wars 2 right now. Mm-hmm. We're all dying for Guild Wars 2. We can't have it, but you can prepare for it by buying Guild Wars 1, which A, is very, very smart on ArenaNet's part. But B, this Embark Beach goes along with all of these title updates in my mind to steer us toward Hall of Monuments completion. But it's also got this bonus, like he said, of preparing for that player exodus. Yeah. So I'm not sure if that bonus was intentional or not, but it is there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has, you have to do things like that. We look at other games that have had sequels and ones that aren't even as connected as well as Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2. EverQuest. EverQuest came out with EverQuest 2, and people still play both of them. You know what I mean? There are still people playing EverQuest and still people playing EverQuest 2. Now, other examples aren't as good. Asheron's Call, that's not that actually closed down. Asheron's Call 2 closed down. So that wasn't a good example. But I think EverQuest is kind of the foundation example, because I think Guild Wars 2 are going to take it to, you know, the next level. I don't think there's going to be a problem keeping both of them around. But the good thing is that they're adding so much stuff to Guild Wars, and they say that they still will. But it's not like they have to depend on subscriptions, you know, to keep the servers running, because they don't have to do that. So even if fewer people play, and, you know, they still occasionally buy storage slots or whatever, I mean, they'll still be all right. And it's still the same company, you know, supporting both games. So it's not, I mean, there's no doubt Guild Wars 2 is going to do amazingly, you know. So, I mean, it's almost like you don't have to worry about them getting rid of Guild Wars 1. I know that this email didn't bring that up, but I've heard people say that before. You know, are they going to shut down Guild Wars 1? No. I mean, they can still support it, I imagine.
Right. Well, they've been very clear that they intend to.
Yeah.
But I think once Guild Wars 2 launches, we're going to see, well, I guess we won't see it, but ArenaNet will see, their major source of income will transfer from Guild Wars 1 to Guild Wars 2. Mm-hmm. Guild Wars 1 will still be a source of income, but it'll almost be like extra money.
Extra money, yes.
It's just a little, you know, there's still a little bit of income coming in, but the main moneymaker is going to be Guild Wars 2. And I absolutely don't begrudge them that. I mean, they're in this business to make a profit. That's the whole point. So I think right now, a lot of this is to get us preparing. I think they've realized we can sell a lot of we can sell a lot more copies of Guild Wars 1 right now by making it so you can use it to prepare for Guild Wars 2, which is why I say it was very, very smart on their part.
Yeah. Yep. I will not disagree with you there.
Well, thanks. I like that. Are you saving up your disagreement for something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it builds up with interest, so.
Okay.
All right, so this next email, this is from Ken. Ken from Chicago.
Hi, Ken.
And he says, "Hi, Ruby, and, I guess I got so bored by Ruby, I couldn't remember what's his name's name." What? So I'll just address...
Bored was in quotes, and I'm making air quotes because you can see me.
Yeah. So I'll just address this email to Ruby. Sorry, Sean, Cian, S-E-A-N, or Sean, S-H-A-N. I couldn't resist. Yes, I love the Commando update. It was the best release last Friday, April 1st, 2011. However, I thought the modern vernacular really broke immersion for a fantasy RPG MMO set in ancient times.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
Sorry, Ruby, I couldn't resist.
That's okay.
He says, okay, seriously, playtime's over. Even though you're going to think this is an extended backhand at Ruby.
Holy crap.
It is, with all dead seriousness, that with the commandos appearing in pre-searing Ascalon, post-searing Embark Beach, and in Guild Wars 2 with the Dragon Brand, the most overlooked bonus of the commando reveal is this. ArenaNet has an in-game justification for the modern vernacular of Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. I can't really argue with that.
No joke. The time stream has been tainted with soldiers of the future appearing in the past and talking to tons of people. First, the first time in the Japanese district, there were several people showing up Saturday noon Central Time. Their modern speech could have influenced kids and adults, especially if some of the soldiers left behind electronic recordings that the Asura and Char could reverse engineer and thus learn modern speech and slang.
What? Like he dropped his iPhone?
For example, pew pew. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a possibility.
Oh, crap. Hang on. My iPod fell out of my pocket.
Now he says, now did I just blow your mind? Or did the advanced recon of the Eye of the North Assault Network just blow your mind?
Oh, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what he would have dropped.
Says, oh, and to follow Sean's advice about sending in email responses about the guy complaining about the Dragon Brand not moving in the demo. Yeah, it was just a demo. ArenaNet devs answered that specific question about why it didn't seem to move much last summer because they didn't have time and space in the demo to do it in time for the summer conventions. I imagine they didn't have time for the spring conventions since they were adding Norn, Guardian, and Thief to the new demo. Also, ArenaNet did up the AI in Guild Wars, so mobs specifically would avoid bunching up to avoid some AoE attacks, much to the chagrin of many fans of the AoE classes, such as Ellie's, including a certain fan of Ellie who shall remain Ruby.
I know, right? This whole lack of clumping for AoE is really ticking me off.
Yeah. That said, I agree. Good mob AI makes for a better game. Now, with the breaking of the old Trinity, including no primary healing class or the tanking class, the AI will have to step up its gameplay. I look forward to it. And I totally agree. The QQing about the Merc heroes is unnecessary. It's not pay to win, it's pay to stylize to win. You're only paying for a certain style of winning, or more to the point, for a certain style of playing. Having seven necros doesn't guarantee a win, nor ArenaNet won't simply nerf the game if Discord Way and Sab Way become too dominant.
Thank you.
Finally, Ruby, the Merc heroes are not your alts. They merely look like your alts, so no extra gold for you. Personally, I wished they carried more stuff, at least an equipment bag. Those lazy heroes always carry the weapons and shields, whatever they can wear and hold in their hands, and they'll whine if you go out adventuring without equipping it with a weapon, forcing you, the player, to mule everyone's stuff around. Agreeably disagreeable, Ken from Chicago, unless he is agreeing with you. And then he says, P.S. Yes, I'm serious about the time travel justifying modern speech in Guild Wars 2.
All right. I can get on board with the time travel thing. It still bothers me, but I can get on board. So, I mean, how can you not love... I don't know. I assume the dev chats in-game on April 1st spanned every district. Mm-hmm. So I assume everybody saw them yelling about eating bullets and crapping dead char. I can't not like that.
Well, yeah.
I can't help it. I mean... That's like quote of the year right there.
That would be funny, though, if they somehow made a quest line where somebody found, like, an iPhone. And I don't know. That, to me, that would be too much. Like, that would be... It would just be
like... Or like a modern slang dictionary.
Yeah.
That's what they dropped.
Or a copy of a book that shows the prices of baseball cards. Oh, wait.
That's your real-life wish.
That was in Back to the Future. Yeah. So, that goes back to my Back to the Future April Fool's joke. See?
Your Back to the Future April Fool's joke was awesome.
They need to make that in the game.
Did we talk about that here? Or did we talk about that on Massively Speaking? I forget.
Oh, we talked about it here on the okay. round table. Yeah.
Okay, cool. But, I was like, did that just not make sense to people?
But the thing is I'm really not on board with this whole... explanation about it being from the modern thing. Now, I know he's kind of kidding, but at the end he said he's serious. I just don't think that that it's going to be something that they're going to put in the game. But at the same time, here's the deal. Like, they put a lot into that. You know what I mean? Like, they put a lot into the art assets, the quest. I mean, even, you know, I can't imagine how much went into this. Even the poses, you know, to be holding a gun like that and all that. So, and actually there was a blog post, wasn't there, about the kind of the making behind the scenes?
Yeah.
So,
add that in the show notes.
Yeah, so they put a lot into it. So maybe they might make it kind of like an obscure reference somewhere down the line, maybe in a quest or something. They'll do that because they like to do that stuff. I mean, look at Gwen, you know?
Uh-huh.
So maybe they'll somehow do that, but I don't think it's going to be... Like, you know, people aren't going to be running around talking about, like, calling each other dude.
Tango down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this was mostly just a chance for the team to kind of stretch their wings, break genre, and just mm-hmm. go nuts and have fun.
Yep.
I think that was 99.9% of it. I would like to see what you said about maybe an obscure reference down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I would love to see sometime in Guild Wars 2 just some random little NPC that's not even that important in the overall storyline say something about how, yeah, my grandma used to tell me about the invasion of Embark Beach or whatever.
Yeah, that would be funny. But
just something that those of us that were here last Friday, those of us who were here last Friday, could see and laugh and remember. I like those little treats for longtime fans.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that was pretty much Ken's email. One thing I did want to mention, though, he talks in here about kind of a response to Yo from the last podcast. Go into the episode 41 comments and read through those. That's where most of the feedback on that episode is. I didn't get a lot of emails on it, but I think it's funny the just contrast. You know, people think that what he said was the most amazing thing, and then people think that it was the stupidest thing, I guess. I mean, like, they literally say that. So, I don't know. I don't want to read through all these because it's a giant, giant thread. But it, definitely go through there and read through the comments because I'd like to hear what other people think of that too. But I mean, everything from you know, I think literally somebody, yeah. So who let that troll loose on the podcast is one of the comments, and then another one is like, you know, I completely agree with this. What he said was right, and you know, all that. So. Yeah, go read that.
God,
check it out.
God bless opinions. And I'm glad. I love seeing this kind of contrasting debate on what our past podcast.
Yeah.
Yep. And Yo's not a troll. Don't call him a troll. He's not a troll.
No. Cool. Well, that was the last email we had. And I think that's probably all we have for the show. Right? Is there anything else?
I think that's everything. I think that's tons, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, next week we'll have the Mesmer reveal, so
no,
we'll be able to
I'm
talk
sorry.
About that. No?
I'm sorry. No.
You're always right about these things, too, and you're letting me down right now.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. I can, you know what? I can crush your dreams a little bit now, or I can build them up and watch them shatter when the seventh profession is revealed. And I just am going easy on you.
Just do whatever you have to. I'm used to it. Just.
You're used to the abuse. We have, like, Stockholm syndrome.
I know. We're like, yeah. Okay, well, but seriously, yeah, Mesmer next week. So,
you poor thing.
So if you want to send us an email telling us how awesome the Mesmer is, you can send it to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, I don't know how to spell my own name, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. We also have Twitter and Facebook to check out, of course, the main page, guildcast.com, where you can get in on the discussion, like what happened with last episode. So
that was cool.
Yeah, it's all there. So yeah, until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.